The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. If you had a chance to read that introductory piece in today's bulletin, you'll know that I grew up in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. I graduated from Hood College in Frederick, Maryland, and then moved to San Diego. My mother moved to San Diego at age 89, kicking and screaming, always asserting, as she said with her, in her vernacular, "There's no place like New York." Now, my husband and I had to go back to Brooklyn to pack up her home for the move west, and it was tiring work, physically and emotionally. We had just about finished packing. By the way, her apartment, we could see Brooklyn College from her apartment, which is where many famous people have gone to school, including one that ran for president. Anyway, lots of people come from Brooklyn. So we were just about done, and we were sitting in her apartment. It was in January, and the heat in these apartments, I mean, it's freezing cold outside, but these apartments are so hot. So we had the door to the hallway open. We were sitting there just kind of taking a break. And this elderly neighbor pops her head in. Her name was Ethel Horowitz. And as she proudly told us, her claim to fame was she happened to be Winona Ryder's grandmother. She told us all about how that was. So Ethel comes by and she says, "Have you eaten?" And we said, "No, we're not really hungry." Well, she looked at my husband, who's on the large side, and she says, "You need to eat. How can you keep up your strength if you don't eat? Come to my place and eat." So we realized there was no point in arguing with this 5-foot-tall grandma in her sensible shoes. So we went to her place and we ate. We heard all the wonderful story of her life, her granddaughter, and just how she came to this country and all of that. Well, Ethel knew that even as we needed food for our bodies, she also knew that we needed the spiritual and emotional nourishment that sharing a meal provides. Now, Jesus, he did a lot of eating and drinking throughout his ministry. He got some criticism for it even. And today, we are witnesses to his miraculous feeding of 5,000 people with food to share. I think it's, you know, we tend to think about, oh, gee, I hope we have enough. So one of the points here is that there was enough and much to spare, 12 baskets, which, of course, is significant, too. But so there wasn't just enough bread and fish to fill the people's stomachs, but also the people found that Jesus' words, his bodily presence, filled them, nourished them. His embodiment of God's unconditional love for all people, without exception, filled the people with hope and peace and joy, no matter what the circumstances of their lives were. In this mass meal, it's made clear that being fed literally is a hallmark of the presence of God. And how appropriate this story is on a day when two young people, Matteo and Francesca, are affirming their baptismal promises. So here's a little pop quiz, not for you two, because I know you know this. So how many sacraments do we have in our Lutheran tradition? Hint, 2. No pressure. And they are holy baptism, right, and holy communion. Very good. Sorry, I tend to try to get you to talk back to me. Anyway, it's okay. These sacraments are, the word sacrament, we could say it's a concrete sign, a physical sign of the invisible grace of God. They are the gospel, the good news, given shape in water, bread, and wine, so that we may not only hear the gospel, but we might taste it and touch it and feel it with our hands and our mouths and our bodies. In baptism, we are washed in the water. We are named and claimed as God's beloved children. After the water is poured over the person's head, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then we trace a cross on the forehead of the person being baptized with usually use oil. And we say, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. This sealing, this relationship with their Creator is what Matteo and Francesca are affirming today. And as we participate with them in this ritual, the rest of us have the opportunity to affirm this for ourselves too. As God has given us the gift of grace in baptism, so too does God gift us with God's very presence in the bread and wine of the holy meal. God knows, as Ethel Horowitz did, that we need nourishment for our physical bodies, and we also need spiritual nourishment. The fact is, life is hard, and what we do here on a Sunday morning does matter for the rest of the week. Where except here are we affirmed as good and valuable just the way we are, rather than being assigned value based on our wealth or power or status? And isn't this the message we all hunger for? Think of the reaction of people to this Mr. Rogers documentary. His message was the gospel message, the good news that we are loved unconditionally, warts and all, by our Creator. I like you just the way you are. Here, too, we are nourished by God's word. We are comforted, and yes, we are challenged, too. We're challenged to place our will and lives in God's more than capable hands, and we are challenged to love one another, including our enemies, the way God loves us. And when we fall short, and we all do, we receive forgiveness and encouragement. And by the sacramental feeding of bread and wine, we are strengthened, rooted, and grounded in love to go out, to be the hands and heart of God for the world. Our living, then, becomes, in essence, a sacrament, a visible sign of the invisible grace of God. St. Francis put it this way: preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. The Reverend Dr. Tracy Blackman recently shared a story of sacramental living. She described the work of a woman by the name of Kathy Daniels, known as Mama Cat, who has been serving Sunday meals to demonstrators outside the Ferguson Police Department's headquarters nearly every week since Michael Brown's killing on August 9th, 2014. Mama Cat says, and these are her words, she said, "These are our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. It's our people. So when we say Black Lives Matter, we need to know that we need to include every last one." She said, "I can't sleep at night knowing people are laying out in the cold. I spent the night out here 2 days before Christmas because you got to understand what they're going through, you know? That's what motivates me to keep on going." Mama Cat is feeding the body and the spirit. We know our world is troubled. We're well aware of the divisions that have broken up the human family. We just can't seem to get along. And then natural disasters, floods, tornadoes, fires. There's an earthquake that we just heard about on the news this morning. We had a fire. I live in Anacortes. We had a fire just across 20 from where we live there. It's still smoldering. It will be for several days. We're reminded that we are not in control of nature, though we'd like to think we are. And we're saddened by the loss of property and much more by the loss of life. There's so many ways in which we struggle. Sacramental living means that we go from this place of worship ready to do whatever we can, however big or small, to make the world a better, a healthier, a more peaceful place. We go knowing that though we are imperfect, God's love for us is perfect and will flow through us when we let go, trusting that we have enough, that we are enough to make a difference in God's world. So come, join the celebration of the affirmation of faith of two remarkable young people and be re-energized for your own life of faith. Come and be nourished at the table of our Lord. Come, eat. You need to keep your strength up. Receive forgiveness and strength for the journey in the world God loves. Come and be fed, then go and share this gift of life. Amen.